Welcome to Wellness Renaissance and Gluten-Free and Other Special Diets podcast, supporting you on your unique journey to finding your best health. Welcome to our last practitioner interview in this series with Megan Brenny. I'm Judy Brewer. This, as well as the previous five episodes, are all part of Megan's senior project as a public health education and promotion student at UMD. This time, Megan talks to Aaron DeWitt. Aaron is an energy medicine practitioner utilizing Reiki and other modalities to help restore balance and harmony in the body. Aaron talks about her modalities, her training, complementary medicine, and the recognition of energy work in hospitals and beyond, actually. I'll be back to share Aaron's contact information after the interview. Here is Megan and Aaron.
I'm here with Aaron DeWitt, and she's going to tell us a little bit about what she does and how she works, and we'll go from there. So, Aaron, can you introduce yourself and let me know what you do and give a little bit of explanation for us?
Sure. So, I am an energy medicine practitioner. And for me, what that means is that I offer different modalities that help folks restore balance and harmony when they're not feeling that, if they're feeling stressed, which a lot of us do feel that at different times in our lives. Reiki is one of the modalities that I offer, and I'm a Reiki master teacher. So I see clients and offer Reiki sessions, but I also teach Reiki. And I teach from the beginning level all the way up to Reiki master teacher for others to also get their certification to be able to come teachers and see folks as clients as well.
Do you want to explain a little bit about like what the Reiki entails?
Sure. So Reiki is a Japanese technique for stress reduction and relaxation. And it came from a man named Makao Usui, often referred to as Usui Sensei. He brought Reiki to us in the 1920s, is no longer with us. And I teach Reiki and offer Reiki as a self-care tool. So when I'm working with a client, I don't see myself as the healer. I see the client as the healer. And Reiki being actually a term that's used in Japanese and Japan for the energy itself.
Okay.
And then Reiki also being a modality for spiritual transformation and growth and restoring well-being, a sense of well-being for a person in body, mind, and spirit.
Okay.
And so restoring balance and harmony when that is not being felt by that person. So it's a lot like, are you familiar with acupuncture at all?
Very basic, minimal.
Okay, so acupuncture is working with meridian systems on the body. It's working with energy. And that is, Reiki is also working with energy systems on the body, but without the needles.
Much more appealing. Much more appealing. Well, would you say, what really makes you believe in what you do? Is there a turning point that really made you see this field as, I need to go into this field and I need to become a Reiki master?
So I've been practicing for almost 14 years now.
Okay.
And was brought to this path when I became a mom for the first time. And my daughter was just not a very happy little baby. And so she struggled a lot. So I struggled a lot. And my mom at that time, she's retired now, but she was an RN and worked with another woman who was also an RN and a Reiki master teacher. And my mom, knowing that I was having some hard times, we weren't sleeping. You know, sometimes we would go, you know, it felt like maybe weeks where I was not sleeping. And so it was a very dark time and feeling very flustered and not very supported. And she said that Jill was doing a class, why don't you come down? So I went down to Florida with my daughter, and so I got a little support with that too, and took the Reiki class. And I'll be real honest in saying that during the class, I'm a very curious person, and I kind of thought, what is this? Like, I wasn't really buying into it, okay?
Right.
And we went through this whole process, and because I was so curious, I didn't close my eyes, I didn't allow myself to relax through the meditation during this process. It's called an attunement, where your hands are actually tuned on to the ability to sense, feel energies. And then she said we were done. I thought, oh no, I'm not going to be able to do it. And I was a little mad at myself. But when there was another woman taking the class the same time I was, and we were able to practice on each other, and I was really actually kind of surprised that I could feel the energy from my hands, and I could feel energy when I was touching her body. And that blew me away. So that was that got my attention.
Okay.
And then what happened after that class was I really did come into relationship with my Reiki practice for self-care.
Okay.
So I was taking care of myself and restoring harmony emotionally because I was wrecked, essentially. A new mom, not thinking I knew what I was doing. I was feeling a little bit out of control, and that's not how I was prior. I'm a pretty organized person. I am very well informed, and so Reiki kind of helped me get back on track and restored a sense of calm for me. And I was recognizing that that was really influencing my relationship with my daughter. And as I was calm, she was more calm, and other doors started opening up for us. Where I met a kinesiologist, and I found out through muscle testing, which is another form of energy, we're tuning into energy, that she had food allergies, and I was nursing her. So through this whole journey, we shifted things, and with the Reiki practice, we both learned how to sleep again. And
it's important.
Yeah, and it just really transformed our relationship. It transformed her health and shifted the way we did things, and of course. Then you would start, I'd start getting the phone calls, hey, my son broke his arm, can you come over? Or my dog is sick, or I have a migraine. And so my neighbors were calling me, you know, hearing about this thing called Reiki. People didn't really quite know about it, what it was, but they were seeing the changes that were happening for myself and then for Anna, our daughter, getting more and more of those calls where I thought, you know, I'm going to learn more about this. So I went and did my practitioner certification down in Minneapolis at the Metta Institute, and wasn't really ready to like hang a sign outside a door to start a practice. I had a really great job in town and I was making great money and like to take that leap. Oh my gosh. But eventually I did. And it was one of the best decisions I ever made. Really changed my path, and my passion is to empower people on their own journey to recognize and realize the powerful healers that they are, so that they can access those tools and skills within themselves to provide the healing or the nurturing that they need for themselves to become who they were meant to be, who they came here to be, or to fulfill their dreams, to create the world that they want to live in. So that certainly can happen through one-on-one sessions with people, but where I felt like I was able to make a greater impact was to go on and receive my master teacher certification, and which I ended up doing with my mom. And that was such a wonderful experience.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a really awesome experience.
It was really wonderful. And then to be able to offer classes where, oh my gosh, to like have someone when we first start practicing on the table after the attunements, and their eyes just light up because they can sense and feel where before they weren't tuned into that. Their awareness just wasn't there. Or maybe they're not sensing or feeling very much at the beginning because it's very subtle. These are subtle energies that we're working with. But to hear the feedback from the person that they're practicing with on the table, where they're like, oh my gosh, like the moment you put your hands like right on my head, it was like, oh, I saw all these colors. Or, you know, people experience different things. Sometimes people feel sensations, like they'll feel tingling in their hands, or they'll feel waves of energy, or they'll see colors. Sometimes people hear different things. We all tune into energies differently, but that's essentially what we are comprised of. We are energetic beings in a form.
Wow.
And so yeah, it's
that is quite the incredible experience to really start your career now where you are now.
Yes.
That's incredible. So you talked a little bit about how your daughter and the struggles, that was the main reason why. Was there any other reasons why? You said you were happy with your job, so really must have just been the sleepless nights and those, any other factors, like besides just having that outside influence of your mom and her fellow partner?
Yeah, I really do think that it's interesting because when you first look at it, it would be, oh yes, it was this coming into being a new mom and these challenges that I was having. I wasn't really looking for a new job. I had a wonderful job. But to step into this opportunity for self-care, and I think that many of us often live our lives in service to others, and I very much so was on that trajectory. I was working as the facilitator for 12 nonprofit youth serving agencies in town. And so I was writing grants, and we were co-facilitating different trainings to bring equanimity within all of the different youth serving agencies, but then to share financial resources to be able to hire out training and things like that. Loved it. A lot of times folks working in nonprofit settings are often giving of themselves and maybe working lots of hours, perhaps being in service more to others than taking care of self. So it was a big eye-opener for me on the importance of self-care, and that the more I fill up and take care of myself, the more I have to offer and the more creative I am in the way that I offer them, and the way that I come together with other people to create new ways of doing things. And so essentially I was really on the same track, but in a very different way, because I'm in service still today, but in a very different way.
Yeah, that's interesting to see. Not a lot of people tend to like veer off their path, and you kind of were on the same one, just maybe going not necessarily a different direction, but just deeper. a deeper, more. That's incredible. I've never seen something like that happen, where it was almost like it was destiny for you.
It felt like many things that were happening, you know, to learn how to really manage a budget, you know, for me to be able to have my own business, you know, all these little pieces, and to have all the connections that I have in community up to that point, where you have a foot in a door to be able to even have a conversation about what this is. Because when I told the board that I was leaving, they're like, "What? Riki, what's that?" Well, they didn't quite say it that way, but yeah.
That's probably
what they're thinking. Are you crazy? Yeah, no, they said that, but there were a couple expletives that were in there. In a playful way.
Funny. Well, can you kind of go into a little bit of what your training was like then for Reiki? Like from your different levels, the hours it took, and different classes that you might have had to take?
So this is a really beautiful piece about Reiki, is it's accessible to anyone. Anyone can take a Reiki class and learn how to do this and to have a really great self-care tool for their toolbox, but then also to be able to share Reiki with anyone else. Reiki is typically taught, it's depending on the lineage. There's several different lineages, different kinds of Reiki.
Okay.
The way that I was taught was that you could take Reiki 1 and you could wait, which is Reiki 1, introducing you to Reiki, introducing you to the frequencies, the energies of Reiki, and, you know, practice self-care, get to know the energies, feeling them. The more you do it, the more you feel, the more you sense. And then go on to take your level 2, which would then be a practitioner level. And level 1 is usually, it's a full day, but it's different depending on who the teacher is and how they were taught. So that's a beautiful part about Reiki, and it's also can be a challenge, because somebody might go to a class where they're working one-on-one with someone, and maybe they don't do any practicing at all, and then a person leaves the class and they don't know what they have. When I teach Reiki, it's begins on a Friday night, and we meet for 3 hours, and I go through the history of Reiki. So you learn about what it is, you learn about where it came from, so the history of it, and then also how does it fit in the tapestry of energy medicine. So what do we know right now in terms of the science of Reiki and how it works? It's considered to be a biofield medicine modality, working with the energies of, you know, we're working with our biology and in a very holistic practice. And so looking at that, and what does the research have to say? The exciting thing about now versus when I started, there really wasn't any research. And even now, there's a lot of really bad research out there, because there are people doing the studies that maybe don't really understand biofield medicine. And so they might put 4 or 5 different modalities in one research project. But they're very different in how they're shared. And so the mechanisms for which they're looking at it don't necessarily reflect that. Or they're just really small scope studies. But there are some really great ones out there too. And if there weren't positive results, we wouldn't be seeing them as we are right now in the hospital settings around the world. In our country here, let me see, I'm trying to think of some off the top of my head, like Dana Carver, Memorial Kettering. There's so many integrative medicine programs. So it's not just even that they're offering Reiki mm-hmm. as an option for their clients or their patients, okay. but they actually have programs where they're training volunteers or training staff in Reiki to be able to offer that post-surgery or for oncology. And we don't have that here. Mostly in Duluth, it's a healing touch focus, which was developed by nurses, but also a hands-on, hands-off modality that works with the energies of the body. Okay. So that is something that is here in Duluth in the hospital setting. In Minneapolis, there's through the University of Minnesota, there's a spiritual center, and Reiki is part of that being offered. It's everywhere, and there are over 2 million people worldwide right now that practice it.
Wow.
But the training is different. And so with Reiki 1, you learn the history, you learn what makes it work, mechanisms of action, and then you receive what is called this attunement, which is like a meditation where your hands, you have sensitive feeling centers in your hands mm-hmm. That are activated for you to more easily tune in to the Reiki energies and frequencies. And then you, in my opinion, should be practicing. Mm-hmm. So I teach minimum of 3 people in a class because okay. I want people to have many different folks to work with. We are all different. Our mm-hmm. energy signature is different. Some of us are going to be able to feel and sense subtle energies and be able to say, oh my gosh, when you laid your hands on me, I saw colors and blue and da-da-da, or I sensed this, and I wondered why you were had your hands so tightly on my feet, and then I looked and you weren't down there at all. You know, like things like that. They're sensing wow. and feeling different things. You wouldn't get that if you didn't have the opportunity to practice on someone, or maybe you just had one person to practice on, and you weren't really resonating with each other's energies for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And so I offer that and the practice and then feedback so that you're able to really hear from each other. Because you may not be someone who tunes in and feels very much, but the person that you're working with says, ah, and gives you feedback. Or you might not feel much on the table, but the person that's sharing Reiki with you really does sense and feel different things. The more you get a chance to practice, the more you have an understanding of it is what it is you just received. Mm-hmm. And then with the Reiki 2, you learn what are called, there's symbols that you work with the Reiki that basically amplify okay. the frequencies. So like, let's say you wanted to turn on, you want to listen to KUMD mm-hmm. on the radio. And so you're going to dial in the 103.3 frequency. Well, Reiki is essentially, it's like that. You have quantum touch, you have Qigong, like all these different wonderful modalities, and they're their own station in this great huge field of energy.
Okay.
And so the Reiki symbols kind of maybe that you've got the station on and you can hear, but perhaps it comes in a little clearer mm-hmm. with the symbols when you're dialing in your station. So that's a little bit of a
analogy.
Yeah. And so you learn those symbols, and then you go through an attunement with those symbols, and then you practice all afternoon using the symbols. And the lineage that I come from, I learned from William Rand through the International Center for Reiki Training, who trained with several different Reiki masters through different lineages. And what I love about that is he's brought not only what we have here, which is mostly Takata mm-hmm. Reiki, which okay. from she brought it from Japan to Hawaii.
Okay.
And so that's when it really opened up in the West through her. And yet she didn't bring the Japanese techniques with her. This was right before Pearl Harbor.
Okay.
And then after that happened, thinking that maybe the more esoteric part of Reiki, which might be more intuitive in the way that you practice and less... Okay. You're going to put your hands here and here and here. She gave us a really wonderful flow that you do in a session where you could do the same thing for everybody. And then that's a really wonderful piece for clinical medicine, because if you're going to treat someone or have a session with someone who has brain trauma, in order to be able to measure outcome in a clinical setting, you want everyone to do the same thing with people with brain trauma. Do you know what
right.
I mean?
Yep.
And so she brought us that, which is lovely, and yet those Japanese pieces were left out.
Okay.
And William Rand brought them back, which is great. He trained mm-hmm. also in Japan. So when I teach both the Takata method and then the Japanese Reiki techniques.
Oh, okay.
So people can get a chance. I think when most people first start, they really need that, okay, I do this first and I do this and I do this and I do this. But then there's that other real important piece on paying attention to your intuitive guidance And so we practice that as well. And oftentimes when I connect with students through a monthly deepening circle, mm-hmm. you hear them, they're kind of launching, where maybe they're not doing those hands this way, this way, and this way, but they're paying more attention to, oh, I'm sensing to go here. For instance, if I have a client come in, I've had many come in, let's pick sciatica, and three different clients will come in with sciatica, let's say in the same day. Mm-hmm. And one will come in with sciatica. And if I only paid attention to that and worked just in that region, mm-hmm. I may be missing something.
Right.
It may be that their sciatica is caused by something that's happening up in their neck. And so I practice more intuitively, where I tune into where I'm sensing and feeling energies, and I just hang out there. So if I'm working with you, I'm like, oh, I can sense and feel some energies or some tingling or some heat here in Megan's neck. For me, it's not, oh, something's wrong here at Megan's mm-hmm. neck. It's, oh, look, there's communication happening in the field here. I'll hang out here for a little while.
Okay.
And then whatever it is that you're needing, mm-hmm. the energies that are pulsating from my palms, they're very extremely low frequency. They're called elf frequencies, actually, for that. And your body will resonate and entrain to a frequency that will bring you back to a state of homeostasis. So to a healthier vibration, to whatever is being held there. So if you're right, if you have in that area, kind of like the orchestra of your body is missing sheet music right there, mm-hmm. so you're out of tune, your body is going to resonate and entrain to a frequency to help bring you back into tune. You know, like to give your neck that sheet music back, right? So it can be in tune with the rest of the body. So I've actually had that happen before, where I'm working with someone, I didn't spend any time at all where their sciatica issue was, mm-hmm. from their perspective, where they were feeling their pain. I spent most all the time in their neck, and I actually had someone say, well, I was a little frustrated that you didn't work at all, mm-hmm. You know, in my hip area and in my lower back. And, you know, when I told you what was going on, I said, yeah, it was interesting because this is where we were communicating. And even though she felt what was wrong was mm-hmm. down in her sciatica or in her lower back, she got up to walk out the door and she turned around and said, oh, my God, I don't feel any pain.
Wow.
So she released through that holding a space there in her neck region, whatever the source was of what she was feeling and was diagnosed then as having sciatica. And so that's happened. And then I've also had sessions where I'd be working with someone and maybe I was in that area or in any other areas, mm-hmm. and they might get up and still have pain. And then perhaps I'll bump into them at the co-op or in town somewhere, maybe even a month later. Mm-hmm. And we're chatting and they share, oh my gosh, this weirdest thing happened after our session. Like, I didn't know maybe that they were a smoker. Or, like, I don't smoke anymore. Like, I quit smoking. Like, done. And then now,
wow,
all these other things that were going on in their life, it was like peeling in layers of an onion. Mm-hmm. And their sciatica is gone. It didn't go away when they left here, but it was all these other things that were attached to this habit.
Wow.
So we're different. We're That's complex incredible. Beings, yeah. right? Energetic beings. We have emotional energy, physical energy, mental energy, spiritual energy, and they're all interconnected.
Wow. And just shows like how much the body just is so self-healing.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
We are powerful beings.
We very much so are. Well, you mentioned a little bit about how the study and the science behind it. Would you ever say, like, Western medicine is better in conjunction to this, or how they work? I know that Reiki is a little bit, that you said some hospitals use it, mm-hmm. or they have special centers.
Yeah.
Do you see that happening more in the future?
Yes.
Or would like to mm-hmm. even push for it more, and just that combination of understanding both concepts of it really mm-hmm. works best, instead of just one on its own?
Well, I think that they both have their strengths.
Okay.
And yet they do very much so work well together. As a matter of fact, it's called complementary medicine
right.
when they're working together. And so, you know, if I am seeing someone who's, say they are diabetic and they're taking a certain amount of insulin, you know, it's really important that they are also seeing their physician regularly. So it may be that things are happening energetically shifting here, mm-hmm. where they may not need that much insulin, but I am not qualified to make those decisions or even say that, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
So it's really, but I am very much so qualified, and it's a responsibility to say to folks who are, whether it's, you know, also going through chemotherapy, that they really are maintaining a relationship with their physician as well, so they can communicate. And sometimes I do that, like with a client's permission, we can sign the appropriate forms where we can be in communication with each other, the physician and myself. It's usually when that happens for me, it's mostly with whether it's psychologists or therapists, you know, okay. if someone is also seeing a therapist, and that it would be beneficial for that therapist to know what we're working on here. Or if that therapist is doing another process, which is also energetic, called like EMDR or something mm-hmm. like that, where it might be helpful for me to know, you know, what they're working on. And so I can actually teach clients different tools that can be energetic tools that can help them in their process when they're working with their therapist. Wow. To help them get the most benefit out of what their therapist has to offer them. And so, and then I can be of support to that therapist by, when they have done a really intense session, like an EMDR session or something where they're really going deep into a trauma, mm-hmm. which I don't do that here because right. That's not my qualification.
Right.
I should not be doing that ethically here. But I can then energetically hold a space for someone to work through any release or letting go of the energetics that they held on from that trauma or reliving that experience without us actually walking through and talking about it. And so that's really powerful and empowering to the person, but then complementary to what they're experiencing with their practitioner, their physician. Both of my kids, neither one of them, knock on wood, have ever had antibiotics. And I'm grateful that antibiotics are there because one day we might need them.
Right.
But we have been able to walk through everything from strep throat with energy work.
Wow.
So
that's incredible.
It is really amazing.
Especially
and colds are shorter lived. You know, the going through hormonal, going through being a teenager, you know, mm-hmm. all those things, you know, and getting periods, you know, all these different techniques and tools that you can do to shift your energy so that you can move through life with more ease. I mean, seriously, that's really what it's about.
That's really what we need.
Yeah, but boy, those other pieces are there for a reason. And if we got in a car accident and we needed to go to the ER, thank goodness that those folks are there with the knowledge that they have. So...
Oh.
But we can do more together, I think. And I think it is happening. I know it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And the more patients are saying that they want it,
mm-hmm.
then you'll see it more.
My mom personally was just had cancer this last summer. So
okay.
now that it's over, she is looking for like, well, why wasn't this offered to me? Or,
yeah.
you know, what would have happened if I would have had this other option? And so,
mm-hmm.
you know, the people are more curious definitely now with the lack of transformation of some medicines and
mm-hmm.
then just like people aren't interested in taking antibiotics anymore
right.
as well.
Right.
I know that personally is
mm-hmm.
how I feel. I've been sick so many times that I feel like my body's almost weaker from
mm-hmm.
all the antibiotics that I've taken. So that's really incredible to know that the complementary medicine is really moving forward and it's really working well together.
Yeah, I think it is. And in oncology, there's just so much beauty there. I mean, if someone is going to walk the path of going through chemotherapy,
mm-hmm.
Modalities like Reiki or healing touch, quantum touch, they're all so helpful in relieving nausea,
right.
you know, some of those side effects that you
mm-hmm.
get. So again, it really comes back to self-care and actually complementary or clinical settings. Refer to Reiki and other energy medicine modalities as lifestyle modification tools, you know, to get a clinical name on there, because that's what they can be there for.
Mm-hmm.
The more we do something like yoga or whatever, you know,
mm-hmm.
you're going to see the benefits and you're going
right.
to feel the benefits. Well, Reiki's no different.
I know that with holistic medicine, the kind of gloomy cloud seems to be when I've asked other people why they don't use it or why they aren't as interested in a lot of it comes up as the cost.
Mm-hmm.
Could you explain a little bit about how you do cost and how you might see it changing in the future with holistic medicine kind of having an uprising, if it'll be more accessible to everyone.
So I have a lot of hope there, and I'm seeing change. If you think about massage, and actually still in some cities in our country, massage is considered to be a form of prostitution. We have come a long way with massage. And look how many insurance policies now will cover massage.
Yeah.
And the state of Minnesota considers Reiki to be body work. It can actually, you have to use the fact sheet of massage for Reiki. So even though many Reiki practitioners don't even touch the body, some work completely off the body. We don't do any physical manipulation of the body at all. It's just complete light, non-invasive touch, if we're touching at all.
Right.
And but we are taxed in the state of Minnesota as a body work modality under massage. So the piece about that is potentially exciting, is that I am seeing that a lot more people have what are called flex plans for insurance. And so with Reiki being body work, if you can submit an invoice on behalf of a client that because of a cafeteria plan or what have you, or a flex plan, they pay for their session, but oftentimes can be reimbursed because of the fact that it's recognized as a form of body work or massage in the state of Minnesota. So
okay.
That's here in Minnesota, but each state has its own
rules
and regulations. So I do see, again, though, that's going to have to come from people saying, this is what we want. This is beneficial for me and for my family. And same with chiropractic. You know, it's very much so more across the board now covered. I see that we're on that path. And, you know, now most of my clients pay out of pocket, but many do. Most everyone who's had a flex plan has been able to have it their sessions covered. But again, I'm not doing the different from a clinical setting where, or like even Shannon, I'm pretty sure she does insurance transaction where she's billing the insurance company. I'm not doing that. I'm providing the invoice with stated out what they saw me for, you know, why did they come in, and then they are submitting that invoice to their insurance company or their business or wherever their employer is, and then getting reimbursed. But most folks are out of pocket, and I charge $65 for an hour session. I also have a package of three, with a little bit of a savings for $180. And pretty much across the board, when you learn Reiki, folks share it's acceptable to charge what the going rate is for massage. And so I'm actually quite under here, because massage is anywhere from like $75 to $150 in Duluth. And that $65 felt accessible to me, where it can be more easily embraced as a self-care tool. Where someone can feel like, okay, well, I know that this helps me feel balanced.
Right.
And there's a lot going on. I've actually seen quite a few clients since the election. I've been very busy because people have felt out of balance and they don't know what to do with the feelings that they're having right now.
Makes sense.
And so they've come in and, you know, leave here going, okay. Where we work through some of those releasing and letting go of some of the energy that's very charged around that whole experience, so that they can maybe hold a higher perspective as they have conversations with family members and loved ones with differing viewpoints. So when we're coming from a place of balance and harmony, it's a lot easier to do that with grace.
Yes, definitely.
Versus with a charge. And usually when we come in a conversation with a charge, we don't get anywhere.
Right.
Many folks will come, I see folks on a monthly basis, where they kind of come in what they call themselves a tune-up. I want a tune-up. And it's part of their self-care. And then other folks I might see like once every 3 months. And then I'm working with someone right now actually via Skype.
Wow.
So, yep, you don't have to be in person to be doing this work. That person is going through some pretty significant health issues. And so we are actually seeing each other weekly right now while they navigate.
That's incredible. Just things. The accessibility that you provide for.
It's really nice to be able to not have someone have to come in physically. And whether it's for living far away or maybe they can't.
Right.
You know, maybe they have a physical challenge that they can't easily get here, or they don't have transportation that gets them here.
Well, do you want to leave off with some final thoughts of your, for people that are maybe questionable, or just your viewpoint, philosophy, just kind of give us some final thoughts on overall what you do? And
sure. Yeah. When I'm teaching and when I'm working with clients, I often bring us back to intention. Intention is so incredibly powerful. When folks come in and I ask them right away, what's your intention today mm-hmm. for your session? And oftentimes we will focus on maybe what's hurting. So I intend that my pain goes away. Mm-hmm. Or I intend that I move through this grief. Maybe it's a loss of a job or a person.
Right.
So what I love to help facilitate for people is to shift their intention to that which they really want. So if we focus on pain, mm-hmm. the message that we're actually putting out to the universe is pain. So I intend that my pain goes away. It's basically saying, pain, 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 yes. pain. And so I help folks by just mirroring for them, oh, okay, so what is it that you envision for yourself? Let's say you are pain-free. Mm-hmm. What do you see yourself doing? How do you see yourself feeling? And so they start talking about those things. I see that I'm in my garden. I'm bending down in my garden for 3 hours at a time, and I feel good in there, and I can do it. I can mm-hmm. garden again, or I'm riding my bike. I'm able to walk to work, and I feel good when I'm walking to work. I feel at ease in my body. Ah, that's your intention. My intention is that I feel at ease in my body. I'm walking upon this planet with grace. That's what we want the universe to hear. That's what we want to tell all the cells in our body that are listening. Mm-hmm. Well, we are the programmer.
Right.
So how do we want to program those cells in our body, the neurons in our brain? Because they're listening. Mm-hmm. And we need to, need is a strong word. Mm-hmm. We're being invited constantly to shift the story that we're telling. What's the story we want to align with? So I help people to recognize the story they're telling mm-hmm. without shame. It's just going into, oh, so what you're saying is, mm-hmm. or is this what you're saying? Or tell me now why, what is it that you're wanting to let go of? And why is that you're wanting to let go? What are you wanting to move towards? How do you want to feel? Well, I want to feel empowered. Mm-hmm. Well, let's have that be the intention. It shifts everything. And the same is true when teaching folks Reiki. What is your intention when you're sharing Reiki with someone? Mm-hmm. Well, my intention is to get out of the way. My intention is just to simply be present with that person and to hold space for them to connect with their own inner light, their own inner Reiki. Reiki, I didn't share earlier, really means spiritually guided life force energy. Reiki is radiant light. We all have it. Mm-hmm. It's just tuning on and tuning us into our memory of it so that we can recognize it in ourselves and recognize it in others mm-hmm. so that we can more effectively and efficiently heal ourselves or restore harmony within ourselves. So I think that would be the piece, is to really pay attention to the story that we're telling ourselves. What do you think when you look in the mirror, when you're looking at yourself? Is that really how you want to feel? Well, you can change that. So just to empower people by having folks recognize how they're speaking throughout the day and what they're saying, and then they're carrying that in the water in their body, they're carrying that in their cells. And what's the story you want to tell? You know, what's the story you want to share? And start practicing that, mm-hmm. you know, telling that new story where you begin to believe it and see it. And then, oh my gosh, all of a sudden it's true. It's what you're living. That would be a piece that I find is really important. And that's a lot what happens here in this space when I'm working with folks and when I practice in my own life. I check myself on, what am I aligning with right now? Yeah. Is that really what I want to align with? Mm-hmm. If not, okay, I can shift. I don't have to beat myself up about it. Oh, look, I'm being human. Mm-hmm. I'm down in the dumps. I'm being human. All right. What's that all about? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, how do I want to feel? This is how I want to feel. All right, well, the best way to get there is through a state of appreciation. It's really quick. Just think of someone or somebody that, or some place that you love that makes you feel joy or at peace. It is the quickest way to shift yourself out of a really charged situation or out of a sad situation. We can't control oftentimes what's happening outside of us, but we absolutely can control what's happening within us. And once we do that, the things that we notice that are happening outside of us start changing.
That's absolutely incredible, just that whole concept of changing yourself just with yourself.
Yes.
Incredible. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Yes, thank you, Megan.
Thank you, Erin, for giving your time and sharing your experiences with all of us. Erin is located in Duluth, but as she mentioned, you don't have to be in Duluth to work with her. So to reach Erin, her website is consciouslivingnow.org. Erin mentions a healing circle that is available in the community here in Duluth, and that happens in October through May. It is on the second Saturday of each month at 9 to 11 o'clock in the morning at the United Methodist Church, the Copper Top Church. You can find out more details about that on Erin's website. If you go onto her site and click Learn and Grow, you will see a Conscious Action button, and under that you will find the Community Healing Circles. It's a great opportunity to experience Reiki, and it is a free will donation. As I said before, this is the last interview in this series with Megan. You can check out certainly the other interviews, and the first episode is a conversation that I had with her that gives the overview, the purpose, and summarizes Megan's experience with the project. So feel free to check that out too. Thank you again to Megan for all that you have put into this project and providing such wonderful information that we can all share and benefit from. Our next episode will be arriving soon, but to be honest, we've been really focused on this series and making sure that everything is ready to go for Megan's final project, that we're not quite sure what our next topic is going to be. But you can keep an eye out via the webpage, and also, if not already, very soon you should be able to subscribe via iTunes by searching Wellness Renaissance. If you'd like to learn more information on the monthly health, wellness, and food group we have going on most months here in Duluth, you can certainly contact me via the website, wellnessren.com, or via Facebook at facebook.com/wellnessren. Thank you very much for listening. Have a fantastic day. Be well.